So I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a securing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it's lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they may make at the meeting. Okay, item one, apologies. Have we any apologies, sir?
Yeah, we have apologies from Councillors Devlin and Selena Murphy.
Devlin and Murphy. Any other further apologies from the floor, Councillor Sharp?
Councillor Finn.
Sorry, Councillor Lewis first.
All right.
Councillor
Finn. Councillor Finn, yeah.
Yeah, Councillor Riley and Councillor Axner, please, well.
Okay. Three more percent of McAvoy, yeah. He's a growing, he's a growing. David.
Yeah, Howie, Truesdale, Young, and Dogan.
You forgot Emrys.
Emrys, yes.
Yeah. And Councillor Fian. Yes, Councillor Killian Fian. Okay, item number two, declarations of interest. No declarations of interest? No. Okay, moving swiftly on to item three, which is the DFI annual report. And I'm going to hand over to Mark McPeak to take us through the report. After the report, we'll be doing questions from councillors. We'll try it in lots of three. If there are an extensive number of questions from some councillors, I may take it one or two. We'll see how it goes. So over to yourself, Mark.
Thank you very much. I'm presenting the DFI Annual Roads Report. My name is Mark McPeak, and I'm the Divisional Roads Manager for Southern Division. Also with me are Stephen Duffy, who is the Section Engineer for Down, and Bruna Gillespie, who is the Section Engineer based in Newry. I hope you've had a chance to read the report. It shows the work we completed last year and our programme for this year. Road network is our largest and most valuable strategic infrastructure asset and delivers for people every day. It is recognised that there is more to do to improve and protect the network, and we are maximising our resources to deliver positive engineering impacts. The division is continuing to face significant staffing pressures, which is impacting on our ability to deliver, and as such, public safety is our paramount priority. This year's budget allocation is again very challenging. Our baseline position is not sufficient. That will result in our level of service being lower than what is expected and needed. This means that important areas of work are not able to be progressed to the level needed, including essential road maintenance. We are having to continue to operate within a constrained resource budget, which means we continue to use a limited service policy for essential road maintenance activities, such as defect repair, grass cutting, and gully emptying. I am pleased that we are continuing to provide a full street lighting repair service. The limited service policy allows the department to repair defects greater than 50 millimetres on all roads, including low trafficked rural roads, and on high traffic roads, defects greater than 20 millimetres will also be repaired. The department will aim to cut all roadside verges and sightline grass at least twice between April and October on the more heavily trafficked roads, and once a year on other roads. This aims to balance the need for road safety whilst protecting our environment and encouraging biodiversity. Opening capital budget for structural maintenance is 89 million, which falls significantly short of our funding requirements. We focus on safety-related high-priority resurfacing, roadside stability, and drainage projects. Recently, we completed the carriageway and footway resurfacing scheme on Church Street in Dunpatrick, and resurfacing on Dublin Road in Kilcoy, Shore Road in Strangford. Additional resurfacing schemes are planned across the district, including the Rathlin Road roundabout in Newry, Shore Road in Rostrevor. We have also some capital budget for local transport safety measures. This allows us to deliver a programme of local improvements, including collision remedial measures, traffic calming, and pedestrian crossings. However, our capacity to deliver this programme is less than what we would like. So we would need to we do need to prioritise those schemes that are in most need. We're taking forward the upgrade of traffic light signals in Market Street, Church Street Junction in Dunpatrick. Traffic signal junction upgrade incorporating public facilities at the Belfast Road and Main Street Junction in Saintfield. Development work on the Newry Southern Relief Road is continuing to progress towards the next key decision regarding publication of draft statutory orders and the environmental impact assessment. Advance of public consultation, which is expected in early 2025. Development work on the A24 Ballinahedge bypass is substantially concluded, and a decision to proceed to procurement dependent on the department's major projects priorities, which will be informed by the upcoming suite of transportation plans. The department hopes to publish a transport strategy later this year that will inform the planning and delivery of transport infrastructure across Northern Ireland up to 2035. The strategy aims to align transport infrastructure with the requirements of climate change to deliver net zero by 2050. The decarbonisation of transport is likely to be the single largest strategic driver of our work over the next decade, which the strategy will aim to support. The vision is continuing to work closely with Louth County Council on the connection of Narrow Water Bridge to the Warren Point Road. Work started on the project in May and is expected to take 3 years to complete. The requirement of the Climate Change Act has facilitated the provision capital funding to invest into active travel schemes to encourage wheeling, walking and cycling. We are committed to investing in pedestrian cycling measures to provide greater active travel choices, particularly on shorter everyday journeys. The department is developing a Northern Ireland-wide active travel delivery plan that aims to link our larger towns and cities. We aim to consult with the public on this plan later in 2024. In the meantime, we are continuing to deliver active travel projects and have completed pedestrian measures on Camlock Road in Bessbrook, as well as Main Street in Castle Wellham, Belfast Road in Ballinahedge. Winter is coming and we are now gearing up for gridding, which starts in October and extends to April. In this council area, we have a fleet of 12 gridders to salt 833 kilometres of main roads. Finally, we are keen to engage with elected representatives. However, we are facing significant staffing pressures and we are having to focus our attention on public safety issues in the first instance. I have included contact details at the back of the report for each of our teams. To maximise our effectiveness, I would encourage councillors and the public to report road defects using our online service that is a direct link into our system rather than emailing us directly. Thank you, and it concludes my presentation. I'm happy to attempt to answer questions.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Mark, for that presentation. And thanks to your team, who are always very good at getting back to elected representatives. I just wanted to raise a query around the gully clearing in Dunpatrick, in particular around the town centre. I had emailed you during the week about it. It's been raised directly to me from a lot of businesses who have concerns, you know, following the flooding this time last year. And I think if it could, should be prioritised to get it done. Hopefully we wouldn't see the likes of what we've seen last October. But I think if DFI are proactive in making sure the gullies are cleared, it would be very welcomed.
Thank you, Una. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. It was just to thank the team for the report that they had brought forward there. I have no real complaints. I'd just like to thank them for all of the work that the team do there, because genuinely, we are very well is looked after. I don't like sending emails in to the team, and I do try my best to use the online reporting system. I know from speaking with you last year that you said that you were trying to just work out about getting a response back out to councillors and people who report stuff, because there's sometimes where you go on, you report, then you try to look it up using this reference number, and just there's no real info there. So it's just to see if you have is worked out yet of how best to get that information out, because as I say, 99% of the time that the work is being done and done in a rather expedient way, but it's just to say that we edit out.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis and Councillor Sharvin.
Thanks, Chair. And similarly to the previous two speakers, the interaction with DFI staff is brilliant, and not to point to any people out, but you know, Trevor and Hugh have been instrumental, particularly within the Doonpatrick area with the regeneration works that's underway. So we do want to echo particularly those two for their involvement. Similarly, Councillor Hanley mentioned about the gullies, and within our own party we have had representations in a similar matter. I did raise that in the clinic on Friday with your colleagues, so hopefully that will be actioned. I do have a couple of general points, and it's not really want to focus in on particular themes, but Mark, you mentioned about funding levels, and 89 million is far below what your funding requirement is. Now, from reading your report, nearly 60 odd pages long, I didn't see what your funding requirements was. What is the shortfall? If you've got 89 million, how much were you actually looking for, and what is the gap, and what does that impact on day-to-day services? You know, you've touched on about heavy roads being used, the grass being cut twice, particularly in rural areas. There's some rural areas that could really probably benefit from that as well. You also touched on, or sorry, that I want to touch on is about some of the service stressing approaches that have been taken over the last year or two, particularly main roads. So you can think of the road from Chapel Town towards Ballyhornan. You know, that was a surface stress and it wasn't a resurface of the road. I can think of the Mearn Road right into Rahul. You know, that was a surface stress and not a resurface of the road. Are we going to see similar approaches from the department in the coming years of surface dressings rather than resurfacing of the roads? And is that a limitation on the budgets that is presenting that approach? Because certainly from my view, I don't know what really benefit it did. The only real benefit that I saw is we actually got our white lines in the middle of the road eventually put back in. After many of times of challenging that, but it's trying to understand, is that a cost-saving exercise more so than anything? And then my last point, and it is a wee bit focused on a particular thing, and it's recorded as the worst road for the most potholes, the Shore Road on Strangford. In a BBC report, it was recorded as the worst road in the whole of the north. And when Hugh was talking about it, He talked about the phases that want to be taken, but there's no money at the moment for the phasing. So you've already done one piece up to number 45, and then you're looking to do a next phase and then another phase. But at the moment, there's no money, and hopefully there will be funding. But again, is that a limitation because the funding requirements that you had and that you're looking for is causing challenges to actually improving the network? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Shervin. So just hand back to yourselves and feel free to whoever wants to come in to answer the questions. We're taking them in order from Councillor Hannan and Shervin.
Okay, so I'll try to write down all the questions, so I'll take them one at a time, and if there's anything I need to ask Stephen or Rona to come in on. Councillor Hannan, thank you very much for your question about gully cleaning. Yes, and I got your email. And on that day, Stephen went out to check all the gullies. Anything that he needed to do to clean any further gullies, he took action to do it. So I think, Stephen, you're pretty content that the gullies that are in Downpatrick are clear. And can I say as well, there's a lot of thanks there around the room, so may I thank you for those thanks. It's really, really, very much appreciated. Team in Southern Division, the engineers that we've got are outstanding, very competent, very, very hardworking. But all your thanks is very much appreciated. Thank you. Mr. Lewis asked a question about the default system and the reference numbers. Yes, you're right. We continue to struggle with staff resources being able to respond to all the report of fault requests that are on the system. To give you a flavour of how many correspondences we get each year, I think 2 years ago we had 25,000 pieces of correspondence a year. Last year it's now 45,000. With very reducing staff resources, it's very difficult for us to get around all of those. But what I can do is give you assurance that every report of fault that's reported in the system goes directly into the system, it's watched, and that they are, the best word I can use is triaged, and siphoning out where the critical public safety issues are. I can assure you that those are taken forward. We may not, we try, but we may not get round to answering them all, but we do try. Sorry if some of them haven't been responded to, but we do try. Mr. Shervin, thank you very much for your questions. Okay then, funding levels. So currently the capital structural maintenance budget this year is 89 million. The Barton report that was written in 2018 said that we needed 143 million every year. That figure was of construction prices. That figure is closer now to capital structural maintenance fund. 89 million falls well short of that. Now, what we do every year is continue to look for in-year bidding. In previous years, we have got increased funds in maintenance budgets so that we can take forward more resurfacing work. That every year. We're monitoring rounds coming up. It's in again to try and deliver as much as we can. That will also very much depend on our internal capacity to be able to design and deliver and supervise contracts, which is very complicated. We have, so to speak, shelf ready schemes designed and ready in case. The impact of not having that money, in real terms, what it means, and we've had a reduction in overall terms of since 2015. So we're now heading towards 10 years of underinvestment network. What's happening fundamentally is number of defects are increasing, public liability claims are increasing. Need to carry out more works to plug the gap. more money needed. So ultimately, our road network is deteriorating with continued under. But we're doing our best to manage that the best we can. Is that deterioration? Fundamentally, you know, the council area or Northern Ireland can have whatever quality of road network it wants. It just needs funding. We have great people who know how to fix potholes, know how to resurface. Just need the funding to do it. People internally. Surface dressing, good question. Surface dressing is done, and Stephen is the expert on this. Surface dressing essentially is one form of engineering measure that can be done to protect the life of a pavement. Essentially what it does, it seals it. So if we have a road that actually has good structural integrity, it's beginning to crack. But ultimately, you know, over the next number of years, it could deteriorate. Surface dressing is a mechanism to seal that, particularly to protect it over the winter. Surface dressing is something that is extremely cost effective. We would like to do much more of it because it will prolong the life of the pavement. There are certain points in time where the pavement needs resurfaced, and that will add something like 10 to 15 years. That's at the point we'll begin to resurface. It's not necessarily because there's potholes. Sometimes, and we've had a few this year in other council areas, we construct roads that had no potholes, but if left over 6 months, it would have disintegrated. So there's lots of aspects to engineering in terms of equipment. But it's something in this division we're keen to do a lot more of. It's the best use of money. It's not because we have less money, because it's just better value.
I would just add that it is a very my team of are great fans of surface dressing. It's a very effective technique. As Mark said, it seals the road, but also it improves the skid resistance. And you did make a specific point to us, are we doing this because we can't, we're not resurfacing. We aim to surface dress all our roads once every 10 years, and I think we're getting about once every 11 years. So no, it's not, that's a target we aim for, and we make sure that the roads are appropriate. No need, it's a waste of money to try and surface dress a road that has already failed. But I don't think we do that, and it is a very effective technique.
We go to the next three councillors, so Councillor Mabbott.
Next, Chair. Yeah, like the previous speakers, I'd like to thank the local DFI team for their speedy response to queries that elected reps to them daily. I want to talk about the entryways within housing estates and developments. Not only are these unsightly, but they're dangerous, especially for folk. Most of the entryways now have got a moss growing tarmac. They have become pretty dangerous and by them. Leasing problem for several years, you know, we've been highlighting it, but for some reason it's not being addressed. We're supposed trying to determine which agency is responsible for the entryways is a battle. So anything that you can do to address this problem would be very helpful. So, you know, locally in Newry, recently I highlighted one of the estates, like a multi-agency approach to it, so the council went in and litter picked it. So I got involved in a battle between yourselves and the housing executive as to who actually owned the entry. So, you know, once you determine who owns it, you know, there is an effort to try and clean it. But, you know, I would argue that the state of some of these entryways, you know, they're adding to antisocial behaviour. You know what I mean? They're unsightly. And you know, passing of throwing litter in an doesn't look proper. So, you know, I'm appealing to you is what IBIS can do to address that. And it's not just the area I represent, it's right across the district. This is happening.
Thanks, Councillor Mathers. Councillor Rice.
Thanks, Chair. Like most of the members here, I'd also like to thank the local roads division, especially John Rooney and Colly White. They're always at the end of the phone to whenever you need them. But without trying to go into sort of the nuances and the particular issues, there's one that I want to bring up that when I raised it in the clinics, I was told to bring it yourselves here tonight. It's in relation to the Shore Road in Cologne, Restrever. As far as we're aware, we have confirmation from the Infrastructure Minister that a temporary solution is to be put in place as soon as possible, which would enable both lanes to be reopened to the traffic. However, we also understand that it's the responsibility of not just the roads, but the area and the forestry, due to the close proximity to Kilbroony Oakwood. But what I'm sort of asking tonight is, can officials clarify the position regarding the opening of the Shore Road and whether they are working with the forestry and DERA to put in place the temporary solution, and if a time frame can be provided for the reopening of the road? Because as you'll be aware, it's going to be a year now it's been closed, or temporary, one lane's been closed now since the landslide. So, thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Rice and Councillor Hannah.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just on this here in particular there, I know all the other councillors have said quite a bit about the good work that's done by the BFI Roads representatives, and I would like to reinforce that, Mark. Just last, this last year, we had a crisis in pretty much Mourne. The road pretty much disintegrated coming out of Kilkeel, just at Riversides, that is. They're now in the motion CR of resurfacing on out the road a bit, or on past that, down through at night through the Oriana Kilkeel. That'll be a massive help to the whole area. So, well, and thank you very much for doing that. Your staff will work very, very hard on that. Just on the road dressing, one slight issue there I would have, and question I would ask on it is the road dressing itself up in our part of the country there. Fair enough, the drains are all there. But what you seem to do is, whoever does the road dressing throws down a bit of a sheet of something over the top of the grating so they never bother lifting it, so they don't, which actually leaves the places flooding, so it's because the water can't get into the drains. Does anybody go around afterwards certain to inspect the work that's done whenever the road dressing is actually carried out, see if all the drains are kept clear? It is quite bad, so it is up our way. I can take you to the Sabbath Hill Road, there's Ballyvay Beg, Moor Road. I can name quite a few of them that seems to have happened. And it's a simple thing, so it is, but it means an awful lot, so it does to the locals. And just on drainage clearance now, you've had a lorry up there last week, so you've had, and anything I'd asked for, you've pretty much done it, so you have. So massive help there, especially down below Ballymartin. There's a couple of drains that are actually washing out everything below them, so it's actually cleared them. And there's one in particular just before the Valley Road. I didn't realise there was a big telephone cable going through the middle of your drain for some reason. Colin said there to me, he says, that's the reason why that one keeps blocking. But it's not really clear. The other thing I would ask you as well, I'm just looking down through this here and you see footways, the resurfacing of them. Are you correcting work that's been done by another contractor that's left the footpaths in a very rough condition, or is this something completely different? Because I know at the time that, well, it was fibrous or whatever it was, put in the cables for that, they left a lot of footpaths in our part of the world very rough, and people were tripping and falling. I know you have done some, so you have, but it's just, is that why you are doing the footways, or is there something else wrong? The other issue I would ask is there to possibly take a look at, I know John McVeigh did it before he changed jobs, so that the footways, footpaths in the more rural areas, the grass encroaches out into them, so it does, and it leaves them, especially all the way from Ballymartin to Glasdrummond, pretty much. The grass has encroached out onto them. John did a really good job, so he did, getting it there. How often would you do that? I know, I think I'd be near to the cross just as you get near your road. It's pretty much the same, so it is. There's a number of areas. Do you actually do that regular, or is it just on request from a resident or a councillor? The only other issue there I was looking at was just on compensation that was paid out. just I can't see it just at the minute, probably whenever I'm looking for it. I have it here. Vehicle damage, there's total claims of 782, vehicle damage 704, personal injuries 59, property damage 14. Is there any idea of the cost of that in total? So there's a whole lot of questions there.
Thanks for that, Glenn. So, Mark, back to yourself again, Councillor Mathers Rice.
Yes, thank you, everybody, and thanks for your thanks again. A lot of questions. No, thank you. I'll do my best to answer these questions. So, if Stephen or Bruno want to come in on this one, at the Moss on Tarmac, our priority is to ensure the structural integrity of the road itself. So if there is a potential for the road to deteriorate because of weeds or grass or vegetation, then we would intervene. We also have a weed spraying program for noxious or invasive species. Generally, we wouldn't intervene for moss or other weeds if it's not a public safety issue. Detritus is not necessarily a function of our department, but if there is a serious public safety issue and you need something done, then we're going to have a look to consider whether something could be done as a problem. In terms of the question relating to entrances and moss and tarmac entrances, etc. Again, mentioned that there was an issue about finding out who. That is always an issue sometimes. I would argue that, you know, we need to establish that because we wouldn't have the authority to spend public money on something that's not adopted by us or responsible. So we would need to clarify for that first, and also to ensure that we manage our public finances correctly and money on things. I'm repeating myself. And just to recap on weed spraying, we would weed spray or take action if there was a serious public safety. Shore Road, Cologne. Thank you. Question. Yes. So Shore, you've explained an awful lot there, and you're right. The landslip that occurred in November last year. So it's approximately 30 metres long. We brought in very quickly specialist geotechnical engineers to assess the problem. The slip itself covered both lanes. Bruna did sterling work to get the road opened, cleared both lanes. But we were concerned about stability of the embankment and whether at that stage whether there was any more heavy rain coming and whether the stability of the other landslip or the stability of the slip had actually stabilized or not. So what we did, is acted very quickly to put out temporary measures, large concrete blocks put into the inside lane, the centre line, and put traffic lights up. We then took forward an analysis with our very specialist geotechnical engineer, and it was concluded that basically we needed to monitor for a period of time until we had the confidence that the landslip itself had stabilised itself. So in May, we did another assessment after all the monitoring, and we had concluded that after a bit of work, the landslip itself was not a full landslip, but it was the top surface of the embankment that slipped, even though it was a quite significant piece of soil that came onto the road. We then took forward, the embankment itself is about 600 metres long. In fact, it's not an embankment, it's a mountain. And we were particularly concerned about the length and any other potential instability on that long length. So what we did then is engaged throughout the process since November. I've engaged with the Forest Service and DERA and NIEA about, you know, what's the next step from a temporary solution to a permanent solution. So what we've done now is we have designed a temporary solution to allow the blocks to be put back into the verge that will stabilise that isolated patch of landslip, catch any loose material that might fall down. Now, there has been no loose material that's fell down since last November. So pretty confident that's pretty safe. Now, that design's in place. Geotechnical engineer has submitted approvals, and those approvals are now all approved. But what we had to do at the same time was seek environmental approval to excavate the bottom of the slope to put the blocks in. We are still awaiting the environmental approvals with NIEA. So basically the design's ready, the contractor's ready and standby. So as soon as we get the approvals, we'll begin moving the blocks back. Now we're hoping that's going to be soon. No timescales. So we'll approach NIEA to get a timescale of when those approvals come out. We're hoping that's pretty soon. That will open the two lanes. That answers that question.
Yeah, just before we move on in that, sure. Mark, Michael, do you want to come back in?
Yeah, just 2 seconds. So just from my own understanding, because my fear was that as we, you know, we approach the wetter time of year, it's going to be more likely to fall again. And then once we get into the drier weather with the nesting season, so it's sort of a catch-22, we can't approach it. But coming out of this, we're fairly confident now that there is going to be hopefully some movement, pardon the pun, that we'll get both lanes open then.
Yeah. I'll just recap. I mean, this is the temporary solution, but there's a permanent solution that needs taken forward. I mean, and Forestry Service have been great because we're going to coordinate whenever we move the blocks back. We're going to coordinate their pruning with their trees on the embankment at the same time. So they're very much on board. We're working very well with them. So fingers crossed. We're just waiting for the approval, but we'll chase it up. Hopefully it'll be pretty soon. Mr. Hanna, thank you for your question with regard to surface dressing and drains. Those covers over drains obviously need to be lifted. We'll maybe take away something to do a check on surface dressing sites that are out there. And
yeah, it is quite bad, sir, is it? Because I've named quite a few roads that no problem with flooding before now, has it? And it's simply because them covers were not removed. I'm sure they're hard to move now, so they are.
We'll get the team out and we'll double check everything to make sure they're all clear. Resurfacing footways and utilities. I'll start by saying utilities have a right to be in the road and get a street works license, etc., and open the road up and put the utilities in. They're bound by the same standards as us in terms of reinstatements. Sometimes they will put a temporary reinstatement in and come back later to resurface properly. We work very closely with utilities. I actually chair the utilities NIRAC group. We work very close. Some footways are very old. At some point, some footways just need resurfaced. It becomes a point in time where we just need to take that forward. Unfortunately, our footway resurfacing budget is extremely low. So we have to do those in most need first. Now, you'll be aware of the active travel measures budget and the capital capital budgets that are becoming available to the department. Active travel. What we're exploring at the minute is trying to explore that, actually improve areas for walking and cycling, like footways, and utilisation of that money that would help resurface footways and make it in better condition. So that's a project we're currently looking at. Grass encroachment. Well, as I said in my...
The only reason I mentioned it to you, just between Ballymartin in particular, that's the last drum. There's a lot of people walking on the road. The footpaths are down maybe to 18 inches, maybe even 2 foot maximum. John did do a good job in cleaning them. So did Sean, Doran and myself were at it for a number of times. And now he did do it, and it left them a lot, lot safer. So they're very, you know, whenever you're walking on 18 inches, a footpath is dangerous, very close to the traffic.
So our policy is to cut grass twice a year, and once in rural areas for the benefits of biodiversity. But if there is areas or are areas where a second cut would be beneficial for public safety reasons, then we will try and take that forward. So if there's stretches that need done.
I think you misunderstood what I'm saying. What I mean is with the line called the ditches, the edges where the footpath meets, you know, the farm fields, not there, just the edge. The grass has actually grew out onto the surface of the footpath.
Oh, right, I see.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm getting at?
So you're talking about edging? Edging?
Yes, edging needs taken back. You could maybe take them back 2 foot so you could. So
what we can do, you can take it away and we can raise that with Ronan. We'll take that away and have a look at your areas you're specifically referring to. And if there's anything that needs done from a public safety perspective, then.
We could have just one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Glenn. Yeah.
Nobody has mentioned it here tonight, just outside Hilltown. I don't know if it's in my DEA or not. The road collapsed there in the time of the storms. What's happening with that? It's a bit of a nuisance. The traffic's coming around that heading towards, and you're right into the traffic light.
Okay. I'll cover your other question first, your compensation. So the amount of money that's paid out, I put a link into the council report. If you go into the link, it tells you the amount of money that has been paid out on compensation claims. It's publicly available. It's a web link. Hilltown Road.
Yes.
There is, at the same time last November, there was a landslip that supported the road. It's quite a large embankment. It's 5 or 6 metres high. It's about 10, 15 metres long. My Bruna's team has gone in to have a look, and basically we would have to attempt to do a repair, but what we're concerned about is actually the extensive length either side of that slip. And it's a big drop, but also the length either side, so we were worried that if we went in to do a temporary repair that could have destabilised either side of the slip. So we've now engaged our specialist geotechnical engineer again, structural engineers, to look and take forward a scheme, actually do a permanent repair on it. There's a potential need to get land to do it as well. So it might take us a bit of time to pull that together and get approvals.
No idea on the time scale at all. Are you talking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
No, I don't know. I wouldn't. Let's hope it's not that long. There's two areas that are priority to me and Bruna, and that's A2 Short Road and Hilltown. We need to get the road back open again. So we're doing our best to open them as quickly as possible.
Thanks for that, Glenn. Mark, that's all the questions you've written and answered, yeah. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, thank you and the team for coming along here this evening to present your annual report, which is very much appreciated, you know. And the same sentiments as previous speakers, so down section office with Hugh Morgan, Joanne and Kieran Neal and all the down section office, Joe Lee and On Street Lighting, and Trevor and colleagues in the traffic management over the years have provided an excellent service and gone out of their way to be helpful. You know, and in my own electoral ID, electoral area for a while, and the Ballinahinch bypass has always been at the forefront of roads issues and the local district and beyond for many years. Following a sad tragedy in Ballinahinch in recent times, I took a delegation of Rowallan councillors to meet with Minister O'Dowd at Stormont, and he made us most welcome. He took time out of a busy schedule along with his officers to meet us and listen to the Rowallan councillors' presentations and requests, etc., to put the Ballinahinch bypass, you know, from the drawing board, actually to put it into reality and kickstart a long overdue project, which you know, is a conduit to the Mourns and vice versa. And we do hope that the Minister will act on and initiate the Ballinahinch bypass as the existing arrangements in Ballinahinch, which we have outlined to the Minister, not myself, I did highlight that, but also the four Rowallan councillors, each individually stated and put forward their case for the Ballinahinch bypass to proceed from the drawing board to reality. You know, I was disappointed too that last year the Dorns Rock on the A7, that was another scheme that was been on the list for years, that was taken out of that programme events. It's still in the programmes, I know, but I felt, you know, that should have been on the list as well. But again, some of the lists, the Puffin Crossing for Crosscar Road, Ballinahinch, which lobbied for, it's good to see it's going to happen. And the Church Street, Church Road and Ballinahinch is again another area of concern for residents with speeding, etc. And Dara Cross, time and time again, I know other councillors in the Rowallan area have been lobbied. The 40 mile an hour speed limit is too fast for Dara Cross, which has expanded over the years. And the resident says to me, why can there not be a 30 mile an hour scheme, which is similar to Kilmore Village, you know? And when you talk about resources, I know at the current economic climate that we are in, that road service, I know the funding, right along with other bodies and agencies, are under a pressure. Why can they not join forces with the likes of the Department of Communities and the councils, which I've spoken about in this chamber miles of time, but getting people into work. Like there were similar schemes in years past that have done great work, you know. And it's not a criticism or anything, but constituents do say to me whenever I'm out and about the roads and meeting with them, and they're talking to me, and they just say, Terry, you know, you can go up the country, you can go across the country. The roads are fantastic. The major A roads, etc., are fantastic. Roads are good, but what's wrong with us? And that's just what constituents are saying to me. And it's not a criticism, but I just look, if I get an opportunity, I will raise that for you. But I think last but not least, you know, there should be a dedicated number for elected reps, similar to other bodies and agencies that have them, because at times, I know, in emergency times, etc., getting through to the existing number, and the staff are very helpful, but I feel that a dedicated number would be handy. But again, I'd like to thank you very much for coming along, and for the local staff, you know, that do sterling work. Thanks for listening.
Very, Councillor King. Thanks very much, Chair, and yeah, thanks again to yourselves coming in tonight and to the wider team. I suppose, look, it's just to really touch upon the recent conversations that have been having with the local community of Killian and Flagstaff, which is across the Fathom area. I suppose there's been a lot of conversations about the level of traffic coming through the areas at the moment and the road system we have in place, but there is a bit of anticipation now with what to expect when, for example, the Narrowwater Bridge is crossable and other projects are active. There's no doubt that areas like Killian and Flagstaff will have an influx of road traffic heading to Warren Point, Newcastle from South Armagh and vice versa. So no doubt these country roads will feel the brunt, and no doubt the condition that some roads are in at the moment, drivers will feel the brunt also. So I suppose with the increased traffic likely as a result of these developments, I want to ask, is or has there been any consideration for the potential strain that would be placed on rural roads that were maybe not necessarily designed for such volume of vehicles? So it's just to see what is planned to increase the suitability of our rural roads, our rural road network, sorry, to complement the big projects that are ahead of us. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Kevin. Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAdair.
Okay. You, Chair. Yeah, thanks, folks. Thanks for your presentation. Just a couple of recaps, maybe from last year, probably even the year before. Maybe misinformed, but some elements of the biodiversity benefits of not cutting the roads. I've just noticed the Warren Point fuel carriageway cut very, very late. The result of that was that there were nearly more ragweeds and thistles, in turn then pollute nearby farmland. But compound that fact that it was cut late, I have a lot of complaints from motorists who felt that the grass and weeds had got so long at the both roundabouts, especially in the Warren Point one, that it was blocking visibility from a danger. So I would ask for, if you're not going to cut it so late on, at least maintain the areas that are dangerous. And actually had the same type of paint as well, coming off the dual carriageway from Newry to Banbridge to Newry, heading into Newry. Same story there, where people coming out from the Dublin side, coming off Dublin Belfast side, coming onto that roundabout, they couldn't be seen by people coming in from the Banbridge to Newry turn off side. But just to make those things. But I also last year asked about on the wildflower, at least some sections on the motorway. You did say that it couldn't be done then, but you look at it in the future. So you're going to keep it on the agenda. Other issues then, yes, just in general terms, there was a report that was commissioned by DFI a number of years ago that stated that Class 1 roads were in reasonable condition and more money should be spent really on high roads and side roads. So I just wonder how that sits with some of the work that's been done in the area on some of the main roads, where the report was saying you should be putting your money towards the other roads, which we hear get more and more reports about, you know. So another issue again I've noticed as well is there's some of the surface dressing has been done, certainly to be welcomed, but I notice a lot of it's done on to just do it on top of existing potholes. To me, the next whole thing just bubbles up again. So the roads would need to be properly prepared before that surface dress. In some cases, not of course, you know. A lot of issues. Yes, greening road, Murray, for example, welcome, it's been done at the moment. I just checked back on last year's list for proposals and I don't see it on it. And it's not on this year's yet, but yet it's been done. So just wonder what it is and why is that? Because I raised last year about it on the Temple Hill Road in Newry, and it's not on any of the lists either. But one has been done, one hasn't been done. So trying to figure out what's going on there. Is anyone who's taking the network development? Here is yourself. Yeah. From Lock Road, Rough Island. I put a request there from residents whose children get school buses, all Newry and Warren Point schools. And there's an issue there in the dark mornings with traffic coming from Rough Island and them having to cross the road on a corner, because that's where the bus stops, right outside Drumgath Church. So they were asking there if there's a possibility of some sort of warning of that type of activity there. Also, I don't see anything on our way. I talked to Val Russell earlier on the year after a series of accidents on the Green Road that I spoke about a minute ago. We agreed the signage placed on that, making clear the nature of the road and sort of the speed limits and the type of on hidden entrances, etc. I see some of the posts are up. The signs haven't appeared. Into some issue regarding the provision of signs. Some instances, and some other instances, not so. Bit of a grey area there. The other one I had was from Newry, actually, from own constituents in Newry, but it's not my area, but I still raise it. And really, it was around the traffic backlog created by the pedestrian or puffin crossing in the central part of the Buttercrane, where it crosses the canal. you can, it's great for the pedestrian, the shoppers, you can press the button on demand. But the result of that is that it backs the traffic up, and I'm surprised it hasn't been copped on before now in a sense. So while other pedestrian crossings work quite well in tandem with the flow of traffic, it seems just to be out of sync. And it presses on demand, so it stops all the traffic and locks the whole traffic up on the right-hand lane of the keys. So you're doing well to answer all those questions if you manage to write them down. But anyhow, that's the gist of it. Thank
you. Thanks, Declan.
I've got 10 there. I'll try and go. I'll not be able to answer them all. A lot of specific queries, you know, mix the best way, the people, the senior engineers are over the specific areas, and they'll be able to get it. But we'll take them away and we'll get you feedback on each of them. Biodiversity, ultimately it's about trying to protect the environment. Also helps us in terms of reducing the amount of cutting that we do. We focus on the areas that are public safety, high traffic. But if there are areas where more cutting is needed for sight lines, let us know. If there's a public safety issue, we need to sort it. So, but we're again very focused on public safety issues. Wildflower planting, yes, I agree. I think it would be great to take forward wildflower planting, and we'd be very happy to work with the council on such schemes, even to take forward some pilot projects, areas to work together on it. Very happy to do that. You asked a really good question about Class 1 roads and rural roads deteriorating. I think that's my take on your question. Yes, you're perfectly right. As I said at the start, we're now 10 years in of underinvestment. Our main roads are holding up well because they've got a different limited service inspection routine, defect intervention. And what we're finding is the rural roads are deteriorating more quickly. So there's an argument at the moment and a lot of discussion happening internally about do we need to change how we do things. There's a lot of work being done, a lot of pilot exercises being done at the moment to try and work out the best way of tackling that is. Ultimately what that might mean, I'm not saying this is the not a policy in place, but consideration to the potential use of structural maintenance funding and where it should be put, where it should be invested in first. Of discussion going on internally trying to maximise the funding we've got and our resources towards where it's basically potentially the tide starting to change towards surface dressing over potholes. I hope they're not. there is a pre-surface dressing patching squad put out. So we have a programme in place of surface dressing. Year before that, there's a pre-service dressing squad so that all the potholes should be fixed to allow the service dressing to happen next summer. If there is service dressing potholes or potholes not fixed, let Bruno know, chase them up.
Right. In fairness, it was only at one flick of road that I was following up on that happened there. In fairness, it's not a widespread thing. I'm not going to exaggerate it.
It shouldn't be happening. The couple of points you've made about the traffic build-up signals, we'll pick that away and I'll bring it up with the team. Sorry about the science not on the pole yet, but some of the order period for poles is sometimes faster than signs. So get the poles up, that's a good start, and we'll get the signs in, hopefully get them up soon.
The funny, strange thing about it is that I had reported a sign that was already there. One that somebody had, stolen it possibly, for aluminium. And it was replaced through that section within a week. Yet again, 6 or 7 months, or 6 months, I'm sure, getting the new signs to come on a different road. So it
well, doesn't. Maybe, I'm going to be cheeky. Maybe you were lucky. So maybe with we order signs in batches. Yeah. So we got into the end of the batch. Yeah. And got them all.
But they just said, just in general terms, any of the resurfacing that you've done, and a lot of it is on that area, mind you, that's been done in the last year or so, has really been well done. I think it will stand the test of time. So, like, you're doing right now is generally well thought out. You're doing the large stretches and really doing them well, and you're putting a lot of drainage in it, you know, that's functional. But I do think long term, money's been well spent. When you do get doing it, you're doing it well. Just to you.
That's all the questions from Declan. The question from Councillor King and Councillor Andrews had made a number of points as well. No, I'm just going back to the three people that had asked questions. We addressed Councillor McAteer. It was on the signature projects and increased traffic that will be around the railroads.
Yeah.
And then Councillor Andrews.
Shall I answer the...
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so Ballinhinge Bypass. Yes, as I spend in the report... Ballinhinge Bypass is one of those schemes that has been developed and is taken through to direction order stage. It is one of the schemes, along with obviously many others, that is fighting for funding. So the RST and TP will inform the decision-making process over the next 10 years, what schemes were prioritised and funded. The RST and TP will be out for consultation in early 2025. So it depends on what's in that report, what the minister decides in terms of what the priorities are and where the money can come from. But there's only a certain amount of funding. It can't stretch to every scheme. So we'll wait the outcome of that RST and TP that will inform the decision-making process.
Just in relation to that, I know I understand there's procedures and there's rules in place, but to a lot of people on the ground, it's very frustrating. You know, it just seems like an elastic. It's stretching and stretching, and you know, and a lot of people have come to us are concerned because the existing system in Ballinhinge is woefully not fit for purpose. And I know the other four Rowallan councillors did raise all this with the minister, but it is. It is frustrating that, you know, after so many years, that, you know, it makes an appearance that this committee, the council, and again, we do recognise that there is funding issues, but, you know, when something is ready to go, why can't it go? You know what I mean? Because the area is screaming out for it. You know, the A2 and the A24 are major arterial routes, you know, to the Mourns and vice versa towards Belfast, and, you know, and Ballinhinge is just a constant logjam. And I'm speaking from the heart here, but I just feel very frustrated, you know, that, you know, nothing seems to be done, you know. And people in Ballinhinge are saying to us, what are you doing? And why aren't the powers that be listening? You know, and I'm speaking from people have asked me at ground level onwards to again reiterate that we need the bypass. And, you know, and they did touch on the press. I'm not going to hog on anymore, but as constituents said to me when I'm out in the travels and out and about, this part of the country, you know, could do better with road schemes, whereas everywhere else is getting. You know, I'm not putting the boot in or anything, but I just wanted to pass on, you know, what people are telling me. But again, as I say, it's just the whole thing's frustrating, but we understand you've a job to do. And the way money is, the minute it's tight, but it's just people are saying to us on the ground, please do something. Thank you.
Just pick up on Dara Cross, the 40-mile-hour speed limit. I remember you raised that last time, and we investigated that against the criteria. It doesn't meet the criteria. Sorry. Councillor King, level of traffic associated Narrow Water Bridge. Really good point. I think what we'll do is have a wee look at, you know, the impact of traffic on all those new schemes and look at the rural roads, etc., and see whether we can do anything to invest some money in there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. It was just a quick question on the
preparedness for the winter schedule, if there's any comments on the level of grit which we have in storage, and if there's any budgetary constraints there.
Yes, winter services starts mid-October to April. Very lucky to have Stephen with us because Stephen sits on the winter service working group. So maybe Stephen, you'd be better answering this.
At the start of each year, we fill the barns up to 100% of our capacity, and we keep them. We never go below 90% of capacity up until the 1st of January, and then after the 1st of January, there's a general decrease in the amount of soils we hold. But even today, they were filling the barns at various locations throughout Southern Division, so we will be ready for that.
No other questions from members on the floor? No. Just a few points, Mark, that I want to pick up myself, questions, and then just a sort of general comment that I want to get some feedback from yourselves on. First of all, the Ballinacloshire Road, it's turned into a nightmare. We all know the size of the job structurally, and we know that the road had moved from the retaining wall had collapsed, but the road at the front of the Patrol Station had moved. But in January 2023, there was a commitment to get work started. I understand that the design for the wall was completed, but we're trying to get the land from the landowners, or trying to reach agreement with the landowners, which had land that was needed. But we still have, that's 2 years later, residents on that road, albeit a small number of residents, and they feel as if because there's a small number of residents that they're being forgotten about. And we're getting holding statements out every couple of months, and it's getting embarrassing now to update those residents. You still have people coming into the winter, some of the councillors say, that's still taking their access in their house across Goodfellas Field for a start at 13 Ballinacloshe Road for 2 years, taking their rubbish to the new road, to neighbours' houses and families' houses to get it picked up because there's still no bin lorry service, and we have nothing back. And I know there was a change from, I think it was David that I was speaking to initially on it, and I spoke to Val Russell there last week on this again, and he said there has been a change in personnel up in the structural department, but we need to have some sort of movement on that. What is stalling it? Is it the landowner agreement? Because when the residents or the councillors contact, we're just getting the same holding statements that we were getting in 2023 January, which is very, very frustrating. At the start, second point of 3 points, at the start, you briefly touched on the Southern Relief Road and the timescale. I think it's scribbled down. You talked about a public consultation early in January 2025 and the stage that we're at now. If you get a wee bit more detail on the timelines, I'm not sure you're aware, but this council has written to the minister on two occasions in order to have somebody from the department, and have secured a meeting from a member of staff from the Department of Infrastructure to come and meet the council to answer questions, concerns over the fixed bridge. And it would be really important for us to know and understand those timelines so that we can accelerate that meeting before it goes out to public consultation, because it's key that the position of this council is firmly known in the department. So if we can get a bit of an update on the timelines. And then just more generally, you talked about at the start from Councillor Sharvin's question about the 143 million in the Barton report. And we had, over the last couple of years, we've had a number of motions where we've looked into the details and the recommendations of the Barton report, and more as frustrated as probably you are, that things aren't moving. What discussions are going on between yourselves in management level and the department in trying to get those recommendations implemented? If you're talking about multi-year budgets, for example, I know we couldn't do it, we're constrained for doing it this year because of the election in England. But are those discussions ongoing? Because you talked about the October monitoring round coming up, and you know yourself in the Barton report, it's absolutely futile to be putting in bids in the October monitoring round, albeit you need it, because of your lack of budget, and then spending them in the winter months whenever you should be doing longer term planning. And we can't do longer term planning because you've got 1 year budgets. So what discussions are ongoing to try and address that? Also, when you're talking about the budgets, it's very, very difficult to see the breakdown of budgets across each of the divisions when you get the department's budgets published. And I'd say it's equitable across the divisions.
But your division covers three council areas, Nards North, Down, ABC and us. And we have by far most amount of potholes across all the councils in the north. We see it from councils reporting potholes, and the lowest council, just over 3,000 a year, or over 20,000 a year for the last 5 years, are one. I think that was the year where we had COVID and was less people on the road. I think it was 11,000. And we have the most amount that's not fixed. So where are the discussions on that? And I understand that Ards and North Down is a smaller council area and having 4,000 potholes up there to fix. Most of them are fixed when we see the report at the end of the year. Certainly report up to 2023. All 4,000 are fixed. ABC, around 14,000 a year, circa over the last 5 years. 12,500 are fixed. 20,000 to 21,000 here, 16,000 fixed. So that's every single year you have 4,500 potholes not being repaired because of lack of budgets. And I understand there's more being spent in Nearing Monaghan because you're fixing more potholes compared to other areas. But it means our roads are in worse shape. What discussions are going on generally to try and address this? Because we can't see where one council area is getting all the potholes reported fixed, and we are getting worse and worse as time goes on. And I know some of the recommendations from the Barron report will cover that, but it's just more the general discussion of how you're trying to address this going forward. So there are my three questions. Ballycoastal Road, Southern Relief Road timelines, just generally in discussions with the department.
Okay. Anastasia, yes, design's ready, the contractor's ready, we can start anytime. There's an issue with the land, going through legal proceedings at the moment, so start until that's sorted.
So,
not until the legal proceedings. New Southern Relief Road. Timelines for it. Yes, as you know, Southern Reef Road is part of the regional city deal. As far as we're aware, it hasn't been impacted by the UK government. So as far as we're concerned, we're continuing with the project. Timelines, I mean, very much dependent on the next stage, statutory orders and environmental impact assessment. The consultation, any impact or potential objectives that that might bring, potentially lead to any public inquiry, as you could delay the progress of the scheme, etc., etc. So timelines typically for these type of projects is 4 or 5 years. That's very much dependent on objections, proceedings. Now, I know that the Belfast Regional City deal has timelines in it of 5 to 10 years, but I think those, you know, from terms of funding perspective, I think it's pretty flexible. I think we can go up to 10 years and maybe be able to. So we're keen to get it started. The fixed bridge issue is well known. So the decision that we're taking forward the project based on a fixed bridge basis, and that's primarily driven by economics. Yes, I'm aware that you've put a request in to see where that goes. Okay, interesting about potholes. Make it sound very simple, a very complex issue. And I appreciate as well that there are different numbers of potholes across different council areas. Now, we did a bit of work in this last year. Now, the difficulty of the number of potholes that you're referring to are the number of potholes that are reported. But that's a combination of potholes reported through the online system. Potentially could be multiple reports on top of the potholes inspected by our inspectors that are also in the system. So what you could be, I mean, I haven't delved into this, but what you could be referring to is the difference in the gap between repairing potholes or those potholes that have been multiple reported. We also have, we try to maximise our resources to get our potholes fixed. We have a combination of an O&M team, an internal team, and external contractors to manage those. External contractors are working really well. O&M are working well too. So, and it's true to say that there is more potholes in this area. But again, that's potentially because they reported multiply. The funding that is represented across the division, we would see the funding criteria for splitting out across three council areas is very dependent on a series of things: population, road length, road condition. So funding that comes to this council area is proportionate to what goes to the other two council areas. Ours in North Down in particular is a small council area with least potholes. You say we report that we've repaired them all, but I don't know how many multiple reported. But it's a very complex issue. All I can say is we're doing our best. We have limited funding. We have limited resources. We're doing our very best to keep the public safe.
Yeah, and just on the final point, I suppose just to make a brief comment on the multiple reporting, I'm taking the figures right across all the 11 council areas, and there will be the figures will be skewed in terms of multiple reports across all areas, but we can't hold Nearly Morning Down distinct in terms of the high level of potholes reported as having more multiple reports than the other areas. It would be the same percentage. That's skewed. So I wanted to get an idea of spend across the areas, because when roads are deteriorating, as we've seen in the Barton report, as it deteriorates more and more, and there's more potholes left unfixed, and the budgets under more strain, what you can do to train the road user safe is just fill the ones that are a certain depth, and it just becomes worse and worse. And that's why I suppose the last point that I asked you there was the discussion. Any comments or discussions that you're having with DFI and trying to move on some of the recommendations from the Barton report that would actually move things, and that's a multi-year budgets for a start, to stop yourselves getting into monitoring rounds when it's clearly in the evidence of that report is counterproductive. So have there been discussions on that? Because we know politically that there is the support to move to multi-year budgets. Everyone wants to do it. Is there being pressure put on from yourselves to the department to get that done by this time next year?
Simple answer to that is yes. Prior to the start of the financial year, a lot of work done to submit pre-financial year bids, put our bids into what we need. We always seek and always promote multi-year budgets, because it means we can plan far ahead. That means we can work effectively on also preparing schemes years ahead. Again, I'll go back to what I've said at the start. Northern Ireland can have whatever quality of road network it likes. It just needs funding. If we have the funding, do the work.
All right, thank you. No further questions from the floor from councillors. Be content. Yeah, Mark, Stephen, Brona, thank you very much for coming here this evening and for answering all the questions that we've got to get. It's really, really appreciated. Thank you. And that concludes the meeting. Safe home, everybody.